Good morning. Can I say God bless you, Church on the Beach? Thank you. We say that to one another a lot, don't we? God bless you, right? When someone sneezes, when we're congratulating someone, we wish them God's blessing. And that's my desire for you today, that God would bless you. That through what I'm going to share, through the Word of God, through what He has already spoken to us, that would bless each one of us. But you know, I often wonder, there are words that we use in our vocabulary that we use so frequently that sometimes I wonder if we have really understood them to their fullest. And I don't think we ever will understand any word in this lifetime of ours to the fullest, but at least I'm hoping that through what we share together this morning from the Word, that we will understand blessing in a little bit deeper context. What is blessing? What does it mean when we say God bless you? What does it mean when we look at Scripture and we realize that the first interaction between God, the Creator of all things, and humanity, when He created Adam and Eve, the Bible says, and He blessed them. If that is such an important interaction, then we better understand it a little bit deeper. That was the first thing that God spoke to Adam and Eve. God blessed them. That was the first action God did after creating them. So what does it mean? What's it about? It's also the last thing that we hear from the Lord in Revelation 22. Blessed is the person who heeds and submits to this prophecy in the book of Revelation. So that's a sandwich, if you will, from beginning of the Scripture to the end of the Scripture. There's a sandwich of blessing that we are to walk in. You know, we're the meat between the two loaves of blessing. Does that make sense, or is that just a bad visual? I don't know. I haven't had breakfast because I don't have a bite in the morning. I usually just have a coffee. So I don't know if I'm dreaming of sandwiches or what. But anyway, that's a different story. So God bless you, Church on the Beach. What does that mean? What does it mean to bless Church on the Beach? What does it mean to bless our children? If we look at the Scripture, we find that all throughout Scripture, God opens things up telescopically. Is that a big word, telescopically? It means that He opens them up in steps. We don't fully understand the whole of Scripture until we sort of delve into it and begin to eat it regularly. We begin to make it our diet. So as we begin to digest it and as we begin to break it down to its elements, you know, when we eat, everything is broken down into its elements. We eat protein so that we can get amino acids into our body because they're the building blocks of our proteins and our other components. This is getting into nutrition now. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Everything needs to be broken down into its basic elements for it to really have impact. So in the Scripture, we find that He is opening these things up slowly for us. He says He blesses Adam and Eve. Next thing you know, there's all kinds of craziness that happens on earth. And He sort of sets a reset. And He covers the whole of the ball of the earth with water. And here we are sitting on sand on the beach, looking at water. That's a perfect reminder to us that the Lord has made a covenant with us and soon we'll be seeing a rainbow up in the sky, that He will never once again judge the earth and cause it to be judged and punished, if you will, by a flood. There has been floods since the flood of Noah, but nothing, you know, cataclysmic that covers the whole of the earth. So the promise of God is still true. The covenant reminds us that He won't do that. But He also, at that time, blessed Noah. He blessed Noah. What does that mean? Sometimes, especially in the Western world, when we think of blessing, we think of material things. We think of abundance. We think of good health. We think of physical things, money, health, prosperity, all of those different things we accompany with blessing. Oh, you just got a new car. Well, God bless you. That's fantastic. You got a new job. Oh, what a blessing that is. We had amazing worship. Oh, that was so blessing. My soul is blessed. There's a key there that the Lord needs to stick that key into our hearts and unlock it so that we can begin to understand this word blessing in the way that God understands it. When you open up the dictionary, the word blessing is defined as words spoken by someone in higher authority to someone of lower authority. In other words, a parent speaking it to a child. you know, and we see that in different cultures. At weddings, sometimes you see the parents of the bride or the groom come up and they have speeches, right? And they proclaim things. You know, it's our heart's desire for our children to prosper, to multiply, and don't forget the kids, right? Baby's coming soon at a wedding, right? That's normal. But that's part of the blessing. It's describing something. It's describing a better future. So a blessing, as part of its definition, is the understanding of the person that has a wish for someone that they speak, that it has a better advancement or an improvement or just a better future. So it has vision built into it. But that's not the whole picture. And then we come to the situation where God is now looking after the flood and he's scanning the earth and he sees people are going adrift again. But he finds one man that has a heart to obey God and to hear him, and that man's name is Abram. So God calls Abram, and he says some things to Abram, and Abram was married to a lady called Sarah, and they were older in years, and they had no children. And the name Abram is an interesting name. It means father of a nation. What an irony. A man called father of a nation that has absolutely no children. So, okay, we would probably interpret that today in the church context. That means, oh, it's a spiritual thing. You're going to have many, many spiritual children. Maybe true, but I don't think that's the whole intent of it, because when he spoke to God about it, God made sure he knew that God had in mind Abram to have sons and daughters that would continue the vision that God is imparting to him. But I want us to just look together at the passage of what God spoke to Abram from Genesis chapter 12. Those of you that visit us at church know that one of my favorite chapters, or excuse me, books in the Bible is the book of Genesis. And you know how you have, I'm going to share this anyway. You know how when you log into your bank account online, you have security questions. Well, one of them is my favorite book. And now you all know the answer to that question, right? Genesis. It's my favorite book, really. It is. So in the book of Genesis in chapter 12, we read these words. Now the Lord says to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, so that you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Wow. What a promise. It's not just a kind wish, but this is like, we call this the Abrahamic covenant. A covenant is not an agreement between two parties that a lawyer navigates through and makes sure that there are conditions that if they're not met, then there is penalties and so forth. A covenant is a promise that's singular and one-directional that two people enter into. I covenant to do this. Whether you live up to your half of the covenant or not, my covenant with you is to do these things. And God demonstrates that with his relationship with his people all through the Old Testament and into the New. That he stays true to his covenant. God is, the way we understand God is that he is a covenant-making and a covenant-keeping God. And he demonstrates that with Abram. And he says to Abram, I will bless you. I will make your name great. I'm going to zoom forward now many, many centuries to one of the children of Abram. A 30-year-old man, young man that was raised well in a Jewish home, who understood scripture, was taught by rabbis. He understood it so well that he would debate with them sometimes. And he's now 30, and John the Baptist, by the Jordan River, not the lake, but by the river, he sees him coming in, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God, who shall take away all sin. And this man comes to John, he says, baptize me. And John said, far be it, Lord, I should be baptized by you. He was talking to Jesus. And then as he's talking to Jesus, he says that I am not even worthy to undo the shoelaces on your feet. How many of you have shoelaces on today? A few of us. All right, I'm barefoot. I've never preached barefoot, but this is good. It gets us back in touch with the creation. So he looks at him and he says, no, John, let it be so that all righteousness is fulfilled. And John takes him into the water, baptizes him. And all of a sudden, heaven opens. Not just the clouds, but heaven opens. I've never seen that. I want to see that one day. You know, it's a beautiful sight, I'm sure. Stephen saw it just before he was stoned to death. So he looks up and he hears the sound coming from heaven. It was the sound of God the Father saying, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm pleased. Hear him. And a dove comes down, and now we see the picture of the Trinity, the Father speaking, the dove coming down, the Holy Spirit, and the Son in the form of Jesus standing there in the water. And the three of them give us the picture of the fullness of the expression of the heart of God. God as Father, God as Son, God as Spirit, who loves and comforts us and teaches us. And he spoke these words, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. So here we have yet another key to understand what blessing is. So this is what I'm going to submit to you this morning, that blessing is a proclamation of identity for the impartation of a destiny. Let me say that again. Blessing is the proclamation of identity. This is my beloved Son. Abraham, I will bless you and make your name great. And in you all the nations will be blessed. The first part is the identity. The second part is the destiny. And we do that with our children consistently without realizing that what we're doing to them is blessing them. Son, daughter, you're going to be great. You're going to get on that bike. You're going to be able to ride that bike without me holding you from the back of your seat. And you're going to do a great job. I believe in you. You can do it. Right? So we tell them who their identity is. Son, my daughter, my loved one. We speak identity into them so that they can go and fulfill the destiny. And I'm talking about something very silly, about riding a bike. But if you listen in a Jewish home every Friday night, when the father and mother get together and bless their children at the meal, at the Shabbat meal, it is exactly that. And that happens 52 times a year, that the children in a Jewish home are imparted with vision for their future. You are great. You are a great mathematician. You are great at sciences. You will be a great doctor when you grow up. You'll be an amazing lawyer. You'll be an amazing scientist. You'll be an amazing engineer. But they speak identity and destiny into the child, and that begins to filter down into the heart and rises back up into the mind, and it changes the course of a person's life. So blessing has those two elements built into it. And we see that all through Scripture. This is my beloved Son. The identity of Jesus is affirmed. Hear him. The destiny of Jesus is declared. Hear him because he's the Word. Hear him because he was the Word from the beginning that spoke and spoke all of this beauty into existence. He is the Word that from the beginning to the end holds everything in his power. He is the Word that will be revealed at the end. Hear him. That's his destiny. That's who he is. That's what he has come to show us. The Word of God, the living Word that has spoken to us. So this is what I have come to understand blessing to be. Blessing is the impartation of identity for the purpose of fulfilling a destiny. So each one of us, the Bible says, were formed in the image of God. And before he formed us in our mom's wombs, he knew us. And he spoke to Jeremiah and spoke these words to him, that you will be a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah was one of the children of Abraham. He was one of the children of the family of Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was one of the members of the tribes of Jacob, Israel. So he is now fulfilling the destiny that God spoke to Abraham in his family. You will be a great nation. I will make your name blessed. And through you, the nations will be blessed. And that's exactly what's happened. Through the family of Abraham, through the Isaac line, we have inherited Jesus, who was born in the flesh as the son of Judah, right? The tribe of Judah as king, and the tribe of Levi as priest. And he has come into this earth to represent that to us. So we have received it. But to this day, one of the biggest conflicts in the world exists in a feud between the two sons of Abraham, Isaac's line and Ishmael's line. And we see that conflict to this day in the Middle East. But it doesn't only end in the Middle East. It affects every nation in the world. We feel that conflict here. We're sitting here next to one of the wonders of the world. Right? Niagara Falls, one of the seven wonders of the world. We're sitting here next to the beauty of all of this, but we feel the impact in our cities, in our streets, of the feud that still exists and continues between these two sons of Abraham. And it affects us. It doesn't bless us. It affects us negatively. So he started to wonder, when God made this covenant with Abraham and told him that through you, I will bless all the nations, that covenant now filters down to us who are the church. We are the children of Abraham by faith. How many here believe that we are children of Abraham by faith? Right? We have been adopted into the commonwealth of Israel, it says. In other words, the commonwealth of the grandson of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, who became known as Israel. We have been grafted into that tree, and now we have the inheritance of the fullness of the blessings that come in that covenant with Abraham to us. So here we are. We are the ones that are, in this day and age, responsible to fulfill that portion of the covenant in our generation. We are called to be a blessing to the nations, right? Amen? And I'm so glad to be in a nation that has known to be a blessing to nations. Canada and the U.S. both have been sacrificing many, many, many years in terms of dollars. Our young people that go out as soldiers, our scientists, our researchers, our universities, we have opened ourselves up as nations that have been impacted by the Word of God to release blessing through us to other nations. Let me rephrase that. To help other nations find their identity and enter into their destiny. Every time we go out to fight a war, it's not a war of conquest, at least historically it hasn't been. It's been a war to bring justice and righteousness into a context. We fought for those reasons. I don't want to get political, and that's not what I'm doing. But that the heart of the gospel is to bring transformation to society. Jesus declared a kingdom that is different than the kingdom of Caesar. His kingdom is kingdom of righteousness. It's a kingdom of peace. He is looked at by all of the Old Testament. He was looked for as the Messiah that would come and bring his reign of peace to the earth. Reconciliation, people living in harmony. And that's the blessing. Because each one of us, made in the image of God, have a unique gift and a contribution that is unique based on our identity to fulfill a purpose to bring into society and plug in. But I've realized sometimes that the church, at least in our context in Toronto, when they started to change zoning laws that don't allow churches to be building new places of worship, I realized that society doesn't look as nicely to the church anymore because they consider us to be wasting resources sometimes. We're not, you know, our buildings don't pay property tax, so all of a sudden tax revenue is declining. But they're not seeing the upside of having a church at that corner as to what that church contributes to society. In other words, they don't see us as contributing a blessing to the community that we're in. So that got me thinking. If they're beginning to posture themselves, society is beginning to posture itself against the church, that speaks into this covenant, and there is a blessing and a release of a curse that God would do to somebody who curses the children of Abraham. And I thought, oh my Lord, that puts a huge responsibility on how we live as the church, to live in such a way that we are not causing anyone to curse us, because the covenant of God with Abraham has built into it provision that he is responsible to curse those who curse us. Let me back up and put that in a different way. We are meant to be a blessing everywhere we go. We are meant to have people blessed everywhere we go. And the best way to do that is for them to bless us, because there's a guarantee that God will bless whoever blesses Abraham. Amen? So don't you want to be a person that wherever you go, people say, God bless you, or people actually bless you themselves in speaking good things about you and causing doors to open for you, giving you favor, so that in doing so, God blesses them. That's an automatic. So sometimes I catch myself where I do things that people actually get angry at me. You ever been driving and you cut someone off and all of a sudden they give you a hand gesture? That's a curse, right? Guess what? As a child of Abraham, God made a covenant with your great-great-grandpa that he's going to curse whoever curses you. So I just did something that put that person in a position where God has to curse them. What is a curse? If a blessing is so important to understand, what is a curse? It's just the opposite. How many here speak Spanish? Anybody? In Spanish, the word blessing is bendición, right? Which means good word. What's curse? The opposite, maldición, bad word. And that's exactly what it is. A curse is the opposite of a blessing. And if a blessing is recognizing or imparting identity in the mind of God, whatever God intends for you to be, if I speak a blessing over you, I'm helping you align with that which God created you to be, a child of God, the most basic identity. As well is to help you fulfill the destiny that God packed into you when he formed you. So a curse is a false identity to a false destiny. A false identity to a false destiny. In other words, not a child of God and not doing the thing God designed you to fulfill. That's as basic as a curse gets. Right? Sometimes some of the curses are colorful. Sometimes they're as basic as, you know, a destiny to a hot place. That's clear. That's not the intent of God. God never created the hot place for any human. Right? We're intended to be with him in fellowship with him forever as his sons and daughters. That's destiny and that's identity and that's a blessing. The curse is the opposite. So Christ steps into humanity, and the Bible says to us that he became the curse for our sake. In other words, he took on false identity, the one who was perfect and sinless and the one who was the Son of God, took on himself false identity and took that to the cross. He took on false identity, in other words, not a son of God. God turned his face from him. He took on our identity as sinners to the cross, so that the wrong destiny, which is apart from God, would be on him, so that the door would be open through his curse upon himself, being himself the curse. He has opened the door for us to become the blessing, for us to enter into our blessing. He took upon himself our identity. He took on the cross. He took on the sin nature that we all have and took that to the cross so that it would be judged and it would end into its destiny apart from God, so that when he rose again, he realigned things and opened the door back again so that not only he comes into life again through resurrection, but opens the door for all of us to enter into our true identity and our true destiny. Sounds complicated, but it's really, really simple. And I don't know if it sounds complicated, but sometimes I look at this and it's just a key that opens a door for me to understand what I'm saying every time I say blessing. So God bless you, Church on the Beach. Amen? How am I doing on time? We're almost there. God bless you, Church on the Beach. In other words, God cause you, Church on the Beach, to walk in your true identity, an expression of the body of Jesus, the body of Christ, to open the door for worship to happen. Sons and daughters gathered together on a beach to open the door for worship to happen and to connect heaven on earth so that as it is in heaven, so on earth. That's the destiny of the church. So there may be some here who don't know their identity as children of God. There may be some here who are still struggling to identify, where am I going in life? How am I going to function? Today is the day that the Lord says to you, my child, I've created you to bless you. I've created you to pour your identity into you for you to come to know who you are. Not like the world is telling you who you are. Not like your body image might tell you who you are. Whatever all those secondary things are, I want you first and foremost to know that I love you and I want to bring you into my arms as my son, my daughter, and to hug you and hold you here for the rest of your days so that you can fulfill that which I've formed you to be a critical element of society for. Within your home, within your family, within your workplace, so that when you go to your workplace, you become a blessing in that company. You become a blessing in that hospital, in that office. So you become the element of God, the child of God. Your identity is firm, so that you release destiny. And the destiny is to walk in such a way that you bring God's presence to everyone around you so they align with him in his purpose as well. Amen? So with that, I'm going to invite Lara to come up real quick. Come on up. Lara's one of the members of our congregation. She's our treasurer, but she's been going through a very interesting transformation in her life where she's been an accountant and she's transitioned to a nutritionist. So all of the stuff that I've been sharing has been working in her life in different ways. I've asked her just to share a little testimony of how God has used her to be a blessing in the context and her family to be in that context.
Good morning. Can you guys hear me? My voice doesn't quite travel. Yeah? Okay, I'll talk louder. I know. Yeah. Good? Okay, thank you. So my journey with God, started very young. I look younger than I actually am. I have two daughters, 12 and 10, so that should tell you about how old I am. But my journey started when I was quite young, but I didn't really connect with God and begin to hear his voice clearly until I opened myself up and started to really listen to him and began to think outside of myself and thought to serve other people. So back in 2011, I guess, or 2012, I began to volunteer with an organization called Ratanac International. They are a Canadian organization, non-for-profit, and they have a ministry in Cambodia to help girls who are being trafficked into the sex trade. And God had put it on my heart to help out in some way back in my teens, late teens, when I saw a documentary, but I didn't really listen until I heard a program on WDCX. Reached out to the organization that they were talking about. And then about a year later, I bumped into Neil at Mission Fest and kind of a journey began. And that was the time when really I opened my heart to God to hear from him and to obey and be obedient. And in return, he has blessed me with destiny, with identity. He's spoken to me as to who I am. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, as we all are. And I walk in faith and trust and obedience, and it stretches me, but I do. And, about 5 years ago, when my work was winding down, I'm a controller at our firm. I still am part-time. He told me to get into nutrition because that was my passion. I love food. I love nutrition. I love to see people well. I was doing it for my family and friends, and I thought, I'd love to do it professionally. So I talked to my husband, and he said, yeah, go for it. I went back to school, and now I'm doing something that I absolutely love. It brings me so much joy. I work with someone who also used to volunteer at Ratanac, and she's a beautiful believer, and we work together and truly bring healing to people's lives. And it's more than nutrition. It's more than, she's a Chinese, traditional Chinese practitioner. It's more than acupuncture and herbs. It's like when people walk in, we pray for people. We pray together corporately every day at the clinic, and he uses that. And when people come into the clinic, they feel different and they experience different things. And like, if I tell you the stories, they're just mind blowing. We have, he's just using us in ways that are beyond what we expect, beyond what we believe could be possible. And and as I've stepped out, he has blessed me. Like I'm now in a place where I look past myself. I look to how can I bless other people? And it's not even something that I try to do. It's just become part of my DNA and my family's DNA. And in return, we are blessed abundantly. Like our marriage is better. Our kids are better. Our health is better. And When we step out and bless others, we are blessed abundantly in return without even trying, without even going for it. And, you know, I say all this not to boast about me, because I'm like, not strong on my own at all. Like, I'm full of fear, and I have a lack of faith at times, and I forget that God is there at times. But when that gap is getting shorter and shorter, and I lean into Him more and more. And whatever you think you have, just offer it. Like, it's really simple. If you have a room, offer it to someone. If you have a loaf of bread, share it with someone. Like, I used to think I have really nothing to offer. I have no real talents. Yeah, I'm an accountant, but whatever. But as you offer yourself up, God blesses you so abundantly in return. And I feel like our life is a, you know, beautiful piece of fabric. It's this beautiful work of art, this tapestry. And the people that we touch through our lives are this string woven through our tapestry, and we're interwoven together. So I that's how I see the church functioning, just reaching out, blessing others, and being interwoven together into this world. That's good. I'm done. Thank you.
In His covenant with the people of Israel, as they were entering into the promised land, He spoke to Moses in Deuteronomy, and He retold him the covenant and what it meant to Israel and what it meant to God. And He warned him, and He said, when you enter into the land that I'm giving you, if you keep these covenants, the land will be good for you, and you will see its fruit, and you will enjoy it. However, if you don't keep this covenant, the land will spew you out. And that's a harsh, harsh statement. And a lot of times, we, the church, have functioned in ways where our society, our land, has wanted to spew us out. And I don't fault society for that, but I look to us as the church and what we need to do to come back to our walk within the covenant. In other words, step into our identity and destiny as being salt and light in the communities that we are placed in. So when that happens, society draws to us as we lift His name up high, right? As His name is lifted high, the scripture says, many people are drawn to Him. And His name is only lifted high by the church, by us, by the children of Abraham. So as we come to close this afternoon or this morning, I'm going to just invite you to just open your heart to the Lord. And each of us, just allow His Spirit. If you are a believer and the Spirit of God lives in you, He is as close as your heartbeat. Just allow Him to speak to you right now for a moment. If you are yet not a child of God, if you haven't come into a relationship with Jesus, I invite you right now to just open your heart to His voice. And I'm going to pray a prayer, a short prayer, that just invites His Holy Spirit, Himself, God, to speak to us right now in a way that we would know that it's Him. It's not the speaker speaking in the front. It's not the worship leaders. It's not the words of the song. But it's God Himself speaking to each one of us. You know, in the 23rd Psalm, He says that He leads us into paths of righteousness. And He Himself, Jesus, said in John 10, that my sheep know my voice. And His desire is for us all to be like His sheep and Him as our shepherd. Then we have no lack. Then we have no absence of anything good in our lives. We're walking in our identity, and we're receiving the necessary tools to fulfill our destiny. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. So let's not focus on our needs right now, but let's just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to be open to Him. And if He nudges you about anything you need to deal with Him, do that. If He nudges you about a relationship that needs to be restored, deal with that after you're done here. It could be someone here, it could be someone away. Doesn't matter, but deal with it. And if He's nudging you to come in and to receive Him as your Savior, we want to pray for that together, that you just open your heart and receive grace from Him. Neil shared about those that were baptized last week. I don't know if there's any plans for baptism today, but you know there's water right here. But let's just open our hearts and just allow the Spirit to speak to us for a moment. Can we do that? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the beauty of creation. And as these waters just echo behind us, Lord. We hear the sound of creation. You, who is the Word, have put sound into motion, and it continues to this day. Your Word reverberates all around us. So, Lord, as we quiet our hearts right now, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak into each one of us. Speak your life, speak your heart. Bless us, Lord. Impart to us a deeper sense of our identity. Equip us and prepare us, Lord, to fulfill our destiny. Holy Spirit, you are the one who leads us in all these righteous paths. So, Father, I just invite your Spirit to hover over us right now and to speak to each one of our hearts. I just feel in my heart that there are some of us that are struggling with the idea of us being sons and daughters of God. But I hear his heartbeat saying, I love you with an undying love. I love you with an unending love. Some of us may feel that we're not worthy to be loved by God or to be adopted by him and him being our daddy. But that's who he is, and that's who he wants to be in our lives. Maybe our images of daddy have been spoiled by fathers and mothers that have not necessarily loved us well. But he is the perfect father. And he wants to step into our lives this morning and touch us and bring healing to those areas of our heart. Some of us may want to stay distant because we just don't understand God, and because some things that have happened in our lives that have pushed us away from him. But he's standing there with his arms wide open today, saying, come into my arms. So as the worship team leads us in this next song, as he continues to minister to us, I'm going to invite you, if you want to come up for prayer, just come around on the other side of the tent here, the brown tent. We'll meet over there. There'll be some people that will be ready to pray with us. If there's anything on your heart where you feel you want someone to just hold hands and come into agreement together, the Lord said that when two agree on earth, it shall be done. So come up and we'll pray together. If you have not yet made a decision for him, come and let's talk about it. And if you have already, as the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you, come and share that with us. We'd like to pray with you and rejoice with you and welcome you to the family of God and just celebrate that together this morning. God bless you.